Welcome to Talking Success, the podcast series that focuses on everything fintech. I'm your host, Alan Franks, and each week I'll be joined by a series of experts in the field who have a wealth of knowledge to share. It's time to meet this week's guest, so grab a coffee and let's start talking success. Welcome back to yet another episode of Talking Success. This is going to be a really interesting one. Our guest today, we've not met before. We've not even really spoken before. So I'm telling you, this is completely unscripted. We've got a few things that we're going to discuss. And over the last few weeks, we've had a lot of people, a lot of guests on talking about digital transformation, talking about, well, mind you, we've been talking about fintegration for as long as I've been in fintech, which is a long, long, long time. We're talking about banks versus fintechs and fintechs versus banks. Today, we've got a guest on who's going to give us a very different angle on this, I hope. Not to put him on the spot, but I'd like to introduce you all to Arno von Helden, who is the founder, CEO, and head of Shift, which is part of Standard Bank here in South Africa. Now, as I said to you, we've not met before, and if anyone's wondering whether TV advertising still works, the answer is yes. I was sitting on my sofa watching the F1, the Silverstone Grand Prix, and during the adverts, this thing came up, and it was like download Shift. I was like, what on earth is that? I hadn't seen it before. So I grabbed the laptop, did a bit of research, found that it was sort of powered by Standard Bank, went onto LinkedIn, found Arno, dropped him a line and said, hey, listen, bud, we should come on and do a podcast because I want to know more about this. And here he is. So Arno, welcome. Thanks for joining me. As I said, we've not met, so it's nice to sort of meet you virtually. I'd love to know a bit more about you. I've obviously read your profile, and I know you've been in the world of banking for quite some time. And then I want to unpack Shift and find out all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks very much for giving me the opportunity to come on to and speak to you. Yeah, you know, Shift for me is it's my passion project. It's something that I've been working on for 7 years now.
Wow.
We really started it to try and solve a very basic problem, and that is, you know, foreign exchange and anything to do with foreign exchanges seems really complicated and difficult and lots of paperwork and especially in South Africa, a lot of regulations and that sort of stuff. I was working for Standard Bank and became sort of the head of retail foreign exchange. And you know, the guys were like, this business we need to transform this business. We've got to do something with it. It was back in the day, you know, if you wanted to send money overseas or you wanted to go traveling and get some dollars or euros or whatever, you know, you had to go to a branch, stand in a queue, fill out forms. It was a really awful experience. And we decided we wanted to step it up and not just digitize it, but really take it to the next level and really rethink and reimagine it. And that's kind of the genesis of it. That's where it all started, you know?
Okay, amazing. So let's talk about Forex before we delve into kind of the complexities of Shift and what you guys are doing and how it was kind of formed. I think for anyone that doesn't understand or doesn't have an appreciation of sort of exchange controls here in South Africa, it is very cumbersome. It's very difficult to move money either into South Africa or especially out of South Africa. And that's for a number of reasons that I think are kind of historic. How have you seen that affect your or impact Shift as a business model, given there are, as you mentioned, the complexities, the regulations around this? What have you done to kind of innovate and to help move that process forward?
So I think the first thing is what is Forex, right? Because, you know, if you ask, I promise you, if you ask five people what Forex is, you'll get five different answers. So I think the first component of what we did was trying to understand what Forex means to people. And so, you know, as part of this, we spoke to a whole bunch of different people, and Forex can be as divergent as, I just want to be able to buy foreign currency and hold foreign currency. I don't know what I need it for, but I just want to be able to do that. Two, I need to pay for my kid's education. And, you know, my kid's going to London. He's going to school in London. I don't know how to pay for the school fees. Two, I'm going to go traveling. I'm going to go to the US for a month, and I don't want to use my Rand credit cards, and I don't want to have the whole hack of trying to, you know, get dollars while I'm over there. I want to buy something off Alibaba, or I want to buy something off Amazon, and like I don't know how to do that, and I keep on getting these really terrible rates when I use my normal Rand credit card. And so we kind of looked at all of this, and we understood that there's different behaviors, and all of these different behaviors, you know, the things that people are trying to do, whether it's shopping or whether it's investing or whether it's moving money offshore, all of these things have got one common element, and that is they all have somewhere in that process, there is a crossover from one currency to another currency. And certainly for South Africans, that's usually a South African needs to go into euros or dollars or whatever that currency is in order to complete that transaction, right? Yeah. And so normally, and also as part of that is like with the exchange control regulations, is that depending on the thing you're going to do, you have to then report that specific thing under a specific, you know, category when you're moving money offshore. And so that can also become complicated because I just want to buy something online. Like, I don't know. Am I like importing a goods? What category is that good? And just, it just becomes inordinately complicated. Mm. And what we did was we did two fundamental things. Is that the first thing we did was today when, or normally when a customer does whatever action they're doing, moving that money offshore or buying, foreign exchange happens at the time of that transaction. So yep. The foreign exchange happens when I'm sitting in Harrods in London and I'm buying that thing. Whatever the rate is on that day, well, that's the rate I'm going to get, right? The second thing is I need to pay for my kids' education. I go to the branch today to send the money off. If the rate is terrible today, well, that's just too bad for you. The rate is terrible. And what we fundamentally did was we said, okay, let's break that up. Let's change the way you do this. Let the customer or the user buy their foreign exchange whenever they want to buy their foreign exchange, right? When they buy their foreign exchange, we'll do all of that regulatory reporting. It doesn't matter what they use their foreign exchange for. They can just buy foreign exchange 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and hold it in a digital wallet. Okay, so that was the fundamental turning point that we realized if we can solve that problem, then actually the rest becomes really simple. Because now if you whether you're going to travel or move money offshore or invest offshore, whatever it is, once you've got your dollars or your euros or your pounds and you've done the reporting, which we do automatically for you, now we can link you into the different services that you need. And those services will be, well, I need a virtual card for shopping online. I need a physical card for going and actually traveling, you know, in Europe or the US or wherever I want to go travel. I need the ability to move that money into a bank account offshore. And so where we differentiated the experience to the way traditional banking worked was we said, you buy your foreign exchange today or tomorrow or next week when the rate is good. Doesn't matter when you're going to use it. You might only use it in a week from now or a month from now or a year from now. Mm-hmm. But with us, you can buy your foreign exchange and secure it at that rate, and then you can decide what you want to do with it. And that was the foundation on which we built a shift, and the idea came to life.
What's the relationship between Standard Bank and Shift then? Is it wholly owned by Standard Bank, or what? How does this work?
So yes, it is indeed. It is wholly owned by Standard Bank. But we see ourselves very much as a fintech, and our operating model is as that of a fintech within a large organization. So we have a somewhat different operating model to traditional products and services. We have a really specialized team of people that focus purely on Shift. And then within the bank, we use some services like our foreign exchange, the actual foreign exchange capability to buy and sell. That is that is supplied to us by the bank directly. And other services we consume from international companies that specialize in cross-border payments or in international card services. And so we've kind of got this hybrid best of both worlds model where we've got this great big powerful organization that supports us. We leverage what we need to from them, like the foreign exchange services, like a lot of the KYC capabilities and the regulatory services that we need from them. But we're also free to where necessary, go and get the best of breed capability to help perform other capabilities and connect customers to capabilities that give them a much better experience than a traditional bank would do. So we actually have a lot of fintech partners on the back.
So let's talk about this. I mean, again, this is something that I've spoken to so many people about over the years, this whole fintegration and banks working with fintechs and fintechs working with banks and banks incubating fintechs, which I think, Shift falls into that category. What have been some of the challenges that you, as kind of the business owner of Shift, have experienced when trying to create this fintech within this, huge colossal bank?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
That's a good question, and I'm gonna try and navigate that really well. Let's talk about the benefits. Like the benefit of being in an organization like Standard Bank, number one, is that you've got access to resources and funding, right? So when you're a small startup and you've just got a business idea and you've got to go out there, you've got to do pitch decks. And you've got to find investors. You've got to find the early investors. It was similar in Standard Bank. It wasn't like they just threw money at us. We did have to get seed funding, and we had to prove the idea, and then we got more funding, and we did that. But you're within an organization, so there's a certain level of credibility that you already have. Starting out. Whereas if nobody's ever heard about you and you've got to go and try and raise capital to get this thing done, I think it can be more difficult, especially considering, you might have to pay salaries or you might have to pay suppliers and you've got zero sort of form of income. So that's great. And the second great thing is that, Standard Bank's a very powerful brand. And so when you slap a Standard Bank logo onto an app like Shift, that gives you some credibility and perhaps gives people that might be a bit more skeptical that a little more confidence in terms of using you and trying you out. So I think that's the positive side. The challenging side to it is that the organization that we work in has been around for 160 years, and 160 years, people think in a certain way and people see things in a certain way, and there are lots of governance and lots of processes that one needs to go through, and so that can become quite challenging. I think some of it is necessary, some of it is unnecessary, some of it is as a result of the design of the organization, which, as you can imagine, can get very, very complicated. But I think that if you like me and you believe in what you do and you're really passionate about it, you will find ways to figure those things out. And if you can carve yourself a space where you can operate with credibility, operate securely, that helps to develop your own credibility. And once you do that, I think things do somewhat become easier. But make no mistake, operating in a large environment like that does certainly come with its challenges, and that's just something that we need to deal with and face every day and learn how to deal with.
I'm sure. I just want to bring you back one point. And you mentioned obviously having the Standard Bank backing and logo. You know, trust is the most important thing. They're not my words. They're words from other people I've had on and bankers we've had on. You know, trust is the ultimate thing. It's the ultimate thing that people strive for, right? I'm going to have a bank. I'm going to put my money in a bank and I want it to be safe and I need to trust that bank. I guess with the world of Forex and, you know, that there are lots of players in this market. There are lots of international players that sort of pry on South Africans and say, you know, we've got the best Forex solution. We'll give you the best rates. And you haven't heard of this person or this company, you know, ever. And you try and Google them and, you know, it's kind of non-existent or they're non-compliant or what have you. I guess that gives you a bit more of a foothold here in South Africa, where Standard Bank is such a recognized brand, a trusted bank. When you're looking at a solution like this and an application like this, you know, that there is automatically trust because it's got the brand on it. And are you seeing that from your consumers, that people are coming on going, actually, you know, I'll just click through the sort of the T's and C's because it's Standard Bank and, you know, I trust them. Are you seeing that, or are you seeing lots of questions that come from new consumers coming onto the app?
No, I think, you know, It is an interesting one, because there's no doubt that having the Standard Bank brand, it certainly, you know, provides a level of trust that makes it easier for us, I think, to win over a consumer, to provide safety, a feeling of safety and security to a consumer. There's no doubt about that. It's a massive advantage. But there's also a cost to that, you know. And I think that the reality is that there are people out there that don't like Standard Bank. They don't want to bank with Standard Bank. They've chosen not to bank with Standard Bank. They are, you know, FNB customers or ABSA customers or Investec customers or whatever those customers are. And so there are also certainly a group of people that you risk alienating being part of the Standard Bank brand. The reward is certainly significant. So would I choose to do it any other way? No. Where we have an advantage is that we are sort of in the middle, where although we are backed by the big brand, we have our own brand. Shift is also its own brand. You don't have to be a Standard Bank customer. You don't need to bank with Standard Bank. You don't need to have any products with Standard Bank. Anybody can download Shift and register for Shift. All you need is your ID number. You know, and so yes, we will give you the security of knowing that this is most certainly part of Standard Bank and very much comes with the safety and security of having Standard Bank, but it's available to anybody in the market. It's not, you can bank with whoever you want to bank with. You don't even have to bank with anybody. You can use Shift. And I think that we've really tried hard, you know, in our communication, the way we communicate with our customers, in our branding, to really make that as obvious as possible and as known as possible that this is not just a Standard Bank product. This is something that's available and services anybody regardless of where you bank. And that's a very, very, very important philosophy for us.
In terms of, you know, the demographic that Shift is sort of designed for, is it very much sort of high LSM rather than sort of low SM, LSM? Is there a sort of an ideal customer of Shift? Because I imagine, yeah, if it is sort of LSM, it's probably quite small.
Well, so also a very good question. I think that. If you look at what we're offering, and we offer, apart from the obvious buy and sell foreign exchange, we offer four primary services. And our services are send money offshore or receive money from offshore. Yeah. And I think that certainly is a higher LSM. So you would be looking at people with that have got the means to either have assets offshore or send their kids off to school offshore or might have investments offshore. So that is certainly the higher LSM. The other one is the investment capability. So we now, you can instantly buy and sell shares on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. We offer really competitive rates. We'll be launching the London Stock Exchange soon, as well as the Euro stocks. And so, you know, that is also a high LSM, but it also starts appealing to, you know, individuals who are maybe in their late 20s or early 30s that have got a bit of disposable income. They like Tesla. They want to be able to buy a Tesla share, see how it goes, and start dabbling in buying and selling shares. And then you start moving down the value chain in terms of the other offerings like our travel cards. You know, our travel cards are for anybody that's traveling overseas. Yes, typically that would be a higher net worth individual, but you know, students who you know maybe are on a gap year, or students that want to, you know, people that are just going for a week to Europe or to the UK, they can use our cards. And we offer, our cards are unique. We're not charging any fees on our cards. Now, if you think about that, a normal credit card, if you have a credit card with any of the other major banks, including Standard Bank, and you travel overseas, you're paying 2.5% on the value of that transaction. Plus, you've got the forex rate. We charge zero. And we charge zero because we believe that the starting point is probably for us, to a large degree, going to be an individual that wants to go travel. And that individual, you know, might not be a very wealthy individual, but that 2.5% is going to make a big difference in their lives if they are going for a week to New York or whatever it is. From there, we want to expose those individuals to this world of, you know, forex and investment, and starting to think about broadening your horizon around, like, actually, I might live in South Africa, but I've now got a tool that gives me financial access to the world. I can start thinking about, what does it mean to actually maybe start holding more of my savings in foreign currency? Maybe if I can invest and start, you know, buying an ETF on the S&P 500 in US dollars, maybe that's something I should be thinking about as an individual that, let's be frank, is living in a country that's got a very volatile exchange rate, that is experiencing difficulties at the moment. Having a bit of more of a global outset financially might be a very good thing for individuals. And so who uses our product? High net worths, absolutely. They do use our product. They're going to move out their 1 million rand a year that they're allowed to move out. But we aren't focused. We are really focused on sort of the emerging youth segments, individuals that have got this sort of what we call this global mindset, that you know, see themselves as part of the global economy and want a tool that gives them that. And so we're very strong in that area. But going forward, we're also going to be adding additional services and products to the platform that might have started appealing to different segments of the market. I'll give you an indication. You know, We do obviously do transfers, but we also, you know, there are a lot of foreign nationals living in South Africa, people that want to move money, you know, into Zimbabwe or into Ghana or into Malawi or into Uganda. We see that also as a big opportunity for us and a market that we want to address very, very soon.
Interesting.
So in a nutshell, not just high net worth, we see ourselves as an app that really a lot of different types of LSMs can use.
So let's sort of focus a little bit on the sort of slightly lower LSM level, where, you know, using your example, someone wants to buy a Tesla share or they want to buy a share in Amazon. Now, you know, buying a share is relatively simple. I imagine Shift has made that very simple. But I think there's a lot of education that needs to go behind that. Because, you know, the value of your investment can go up and can go down, and can go sideways and, you know, can get completely wiped out. You know, if you invested in Wirecard a few years ago and, you know, you'd be quite, you know, it hurts. So, what are you guys doing in terms of educating, the youth in terms of, you know, the correct investment strategies? You know, maybe it's not put all your eggs in one basket, or to have, you know, a range of different sort of, you know, diverse portfolio. Sorry, that's the word I'm looking for. Sorry, I did eight hours yesterday drive back from Durban to Joburg with two kids in the car. So, my head's a little bit fuzzy, but you know what I'm saying. So, you know, how do you educate the youth, or perhaps people that, you know, haven't ever explored, you know, investments in this whole sort of scary world of the stock exchange?
Also a great question. So the first thing that we do really is we've started to form a number of partnerships with various different what we call businesses and individuals that are specialists in the area. So if you look at Shift today, we send out a monthly newsletter. We give guidance from a market perspective, but we also partner with BizNews is one of our big partners. So Alec Hogg BizNews, that they actually have a Shift portfolio, and anyone that is part of the BizNews community, they on a monthly basis look. They have specific shares that they look at. And they provide sort of insights into what's happening with those companies. They have their own portfolio that they manage, and literally anybody can actually sign up with them and actually go along with them, because all of their shares and ETFs are also available on Shift. We have another partnership with a company called Lockstep that also, you know, they've got a very good website, and we promote that heavily. And so when we communicate to our customers, we are at this point in time saying, you know, like Shift can be for somebody that does their own research, that has a view in terms of where to go. If you don't, here are our partners. And our intention over the next couple of months is to really bulk up in terms of our communication around what are some of the investment strategies? Why should you be looking at a diversified investment strategy? What are the advantages of offshore versus onshore? And trying to provide as much insight and access to information as possible. One of the great, you know, companies that does it extremely well, I consider probably our biggest competitor and the company that's done exceptionally well is Easy Equities. You know, they've really focused well on their communities. We are you know, a fraction of the size of them, but I think that you know, the model that they use to really provide insights through Facebook, through various other different channels, has really worked. And I think we intend on doing something very similar. And our starting point is through partners like Lockstep and BizNews.
Do you see Shift becoming or moving into the world of crypto, so becoming a crypto exchange at some point? Or what's
always get this question. okay, so let me I'm gonna answer that question like this. I think that ultimately today crypto in particular is very much used as it's like an asset class. It performs a very similar function. People will buy Bitcoin or Ethereum or XRP because they want to buy it, hold it, and hopefully make a profit and sell it, right? And so I think that philosophically we will always want to provide whatever our customers want. So, you know, if the demand is for our customers saying, well, we really want to be able to buy Bitcoin and all that sort of stuff, then absolutely that's something that we would look at facilitating, as long as we can do it in a safe and reliable way. Okay. Yep. I think that's really fundamental, because just, you know, we talk about companies being risky bets. I think you know, crypto, there's certainly quite a lot of have been quite a lot of challenges, especially with the safe custody of late. You know, some of the big names that went under, and people lost a lot of money. So we would absolutely look at doing that, as long as we could facilitate that in a very, very safe way. I mean, I'm not going to mention names, but we've had recently one of the local crypto exchanges, they had placed a lot of their Bitcoin and Ethereum in safe custody with an offshore provider. That offshore provider now has unfortunately had some challenges, and so 30% of their assets now are locked up, and that's, you know, that's a problem. Mm. So I think there's full room for improvement in the crypto space. What I'm more excited about, is really about how we can start thinking about crypto as a mechanism to improve the movement of money and financial services. And so we are very open and are actively exploring different opportunities to enable more blockchain than crypto. I think there are different types of tokens and coins that one can use. But we're looking at understanding the technology and how we can make, for example, somebody that wants to transfer funds from South Africa to wherever else in the world an instant experience, that costs a fraction of what it does today. And I think that's a bigger opportunity for us. From an investment perspective, we're happy with our equities. We're looking at branching out into other forms of investments, and crypto might come along. But I must also say that since the cooling off on the crypto side, we've had a lot less demand for it in the last year and a half or so than we did previously. But I'm looking at the Bitcoin price. It seems to be coming back. So who knows? Maybe that's something we need to reconsider.
Yeah, I'm looking at the XRP price doing the same as well. Anyway, that's one for another day.
Very well.
So, I'm not going to harp on about crypto, but when we do look at alternative asset classes, whether it be crypto, whether it be whatever NFTs or whatever it may be, is that where some of the challenges of being sort of owned by Standard Bank come in when it comes to risk? Is there quite a lot of sort of conversations between Shift, Standard, yourself, and Standard Bank that say, actually, our consumers want this, our customers want this, Standard Bank going, oh, hang on a minute, that doesn't sort of fit our risk portfolio. How does that work? Is that quite challenging?
I think it was more so initially when we kind of launched, obviously crypto, back in the 2019, 2020, 2021, Bitcoin, went up to, I can't remember, it was like $90,000 or something like that. Everybody was talking about crypto, and we, as Shift, were sort of going like, are we missing the bus here? Are we being left behind? But I also think that if you think about our strategy as a platform, we want to be a multi-asset platform. We want to be the place where people can buy their Forex, they can buy their shares, they can buy, they can buy their crypto, their bonds, whatever they want to do. Ultimately, that's what we want to have, like a one-stop shop for everybody. And what's really nice about ours is that we've also got then the actual transaction capability. So now you can actually liquidate your share, put it onto your card, and go traveling in the US and spend the money. Or you can, move your money to buy an asset offshore or whatever you want to do with it. So I think our platform is a bit different to other platforms where they specialize in, like, we're an investment platform, like Luno or Easy Equities. We're both a transaction and an investment platform, across multi assets already.
But I think
the answer to the question is yes. There was a lot of resistance when we first floated the idea, but in hindsight, and given everything that's happened, it was probably a good thing for us that we didn't jump into it straight away. And I think that where the bank is now and the organization and their thinking around crypto has evolved significantly, that I don't think it will be anywhere near as much of a roadblock for us if we wanted to do that. But as a team and as Shift, looking at where the opportunities lie today, I would say that there are better opportunities and bigger opportunities outside of crypto that we should focus on that can really help customers and really get customers to engage with our channel. So crypto is certainly on the agenda, but it's not number one on the agenda by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay. Next question for you, Arno, if I may. We talk a lot in the industry about bundling and unbundling of services, specifically when it comes to challenger banks. We look at someone like Discovery Bank, who I think have done very, very well in bundling lots of different services to become this, dare I say, super app. where I can buy my pet insurance, or actually, no, that's the other bank I'm thinking of, but I can buy my flight tickets, or I can, I don't know, I can buy this or I can buy that. And, you know, I've got this kind of all-in-one suite of products within my Discovery Bank account. I say the same for Revolut in the UK. You know, I've got a Revolut account, and again, I can buy my pet insurance. That's the one where I bought my pet insurance from. I can buy my stocks and shares. I can buy crypto. All right, the spread's horrible, but that's a conversation for another time. I can do lots of different things within the app. I appreciate this is your opinion, not that of Standard Bank's. But in your opinion, do you think that Standard Bank could be looking at shifting, going, actually, this could be our route into rebundling services that perhaps the bank has got? Maybe there are some legacy products, maybe there's some new products that they're struggling to get to market because people associate Standard Bank with maybe transactional banking and a credit card. Could they be bundled up into Shift, and that's the future of Standard Bank? Is that how your team's viewed, or are you the maverick still?
You know, I think there certainly was a time, and that we as SHIP, you know, considered, like, where do we want to go? You know, how do we do? Do we ultimately become a super app, and then just become another entry point or a channel into Standard Bank's products and services? But I think where we've got to is that ultimately Standard Bank has got their own, they've got specific channels. So, you know, they work in a particular way, and they've got channels. So if you want to get a credit card or a home loan, or you want to, you know, have a bank account, like that's there. You can go on, you can sign up with Standard Bank, and you can get those products. Is there benefit in rehashing that into a platform like Shift? I think that there's a bit of a danger in that you do start potentially creating confusion. And so we made a decision that we want to really be focused on the difficult, and I mean this with respect, not that any of those other things aren't difficult, but a specific set of difficulties. And those specific set of difficulties are really around connecting people to complex investment type things. Like buying and selling a share, we make it simple, but it's actually really complicated. You know, buying foreign exchange and navigating all the rules around that is complicated. And I think that there is a big market for that in South Africa and across the African continent. And I still really think that that's a very underserved market. And so if we keep our message and our focus around, if you're an individual that's living in South Africa that needs to connect financially into the rest of the world, or anywhere in Africa into the rest of the world, this is the place that will make that experience simple and easy. I think if we start going down sort of too much down the line of, well, now you can get your life insurance and your pet insurance and all the rest of it, I think that we start diluting that value proposition. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that value proposition is understood, is clear, is watertight, and people come to us to solve a need associated to that for now. But that might change, you know, and there's nothing stopping us from becoming something broader at a point in time.
Yep.
But right now, we really want to focus on that aspect of the market, because certainly in Africa today, there are lots of businesses that solve for, you know, domestic transactions, credit cards, you know, maybe even microtransactions and that kind of stuff. There aren't a lot of businesses that really focus on Forex specifically and the needs around Forex.
No, sure. I think perhaps the enterprise sector as well, or SME sector, when it comes to Forex. I mean, that's a whole other ballgame, right?
Absolutely.
We struggle with probably on a weekly basis is, you know, the amount of clicks you have to do in order to get, you know, the payment that comes in, the recurring payment that comes in every month from the same supplier or the same
Absolutely.
Customer. You know, it's it needs some disruption. So maybe that's just Shift for Business 2.0 or something, but you never know, right? Watch this space.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Amazing. So, you know, in conclusion, it sounds like you've had a really sort of successful relationship with Standard Bank. They've been very, very supportive of what you guys are doing, obviously from the funding side that you mentioned, but, you know, from the support, the regulatory side, you know, being able to utilize what a bank is amazing at, which is, you know, safeguarding money and regulation and compliance without having to worry about that as a fintech founder. Because I know, obviously talking to a lot of entrepreneurs that are involved in fintech, so much of their time is spent trying to understand, you know, the latest SOB, you know, white paper or what's been gazetted by FSCA or, you know, all the regulatory, especially when you come into cross-border payments and exchange controls, it's an absolute minefield. But having that, not necessarily taken away, but having, you know, Standard Bank to support you and help you navigate that must have been a massive weight off your shoulders, allowing you to focus on clearly what you've done extremely well, which is the consumer, what the product is, and how you can, you know, best serve, you know, this sort of community of people that you're trying to include. So we'll use sort of financial inclusion. So, you know, from having just a transactional bank account to now being able to work on in international funds and, you know, use different sort of types of equities and what have you. I don't know, you know, many sort of I think there are many founders that are sitting there going, yeah, wish I partnered with a bank rather than seeing them as a foe. So do you think this is the future? Do you see other sort of spin-offs within, maybe not necessarily Standard Bank, but other banks that are, you know, rather than sort of acquiring or partnering with a fintech, are going, actually, we can probably do this ourselves. We've got the resources. We've got the finances. We've got some very, very smart people. Perhaps we should now start to innovate more and faster. You said it's taken you guys 7 years, which I think, you know, if you're talking the world of fintech, that's probably like 100 years. So I guess there's pros and cons here. But what's your view?
Sure. You know, I don't know, because, and I'm just going to be like really frank and honest here. I don't know, because I think that there are. So the thing that I've noticed about working in an organization, and I've been like Standard Bank, and I've been here now for 12 years, is that the environment in these kind of organizations is constantly changing, you know, and so it's like cycles, you know. You kind of, and I guess it's like that with anything in life. But what you have is you've got this large, you know, organization that's been formed over a century that thinks in a certain way. And what happens is you tend to have waves where all of a sudden, you know, this need to innovate and to be innovative and to be disruptive sort of starts moving high up on the agenda. And then that happens for a while and then that sort of peters out. And then what happens is then the organization kind of goes, let's focus more on our core and what our core is all about, and the safety and the security and servicing our existing customers, and then eventually that, you know, that comes out, and then the innovation side of things, the need to innovate, you know, comes back, and that's just normal. That's how organizations, I think, especially large organizations, work. And so I think a lot of what we do and success is based on timing. Like, when are you solving a particular problem? Who's solving that problem, and how are they solving that problem? And where is the organization at that point in terms of the thinking around how you want to solve that problem? I think we were part of our success was that we were lucky that when we, you know, back in 2017, 2016, 2017, when we did that, you know, innovation was very much a very strong theme at that point in time. I think if we had to try and do that today again, I think it would be probably a bit more challenging to do it in the way that we've done it, you know. And so I don't think there is a right, there's no formula for this. I don't think there's a formula that says, you know, if you do X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C will happen. I don't think that's right. I think that there's a fundamental aspect here. I think that success is less determined just by the environment, although that has a massive impact on it. It's really about the individual or the groups of individuals and how they are able to navigate the environment in which they find themselves. And I mean that as whether you're in a corporate or whether you're a startup trying to build something from scratch and you don't have the backing of a corporate, success for me is going to be more determined by you and your resilience and your passion for what you do and your belief in it and your ability to navigate whatever those circumstances are to find success. In a corporate, it comes with a lot of advantages, but I can assure you there's some big disadvantages as well. Doing it on your own, there are going to be a lot of disadvantages, but there are some big advantages to doing it too. And, platforms like Easy Equities, Luno, you know, they didn't come out of big corporates. They were guys that came up with ideas and concepts and found the backing and the support they needed to be successful. So there are just as many of those out there as there are, you know, shifts or businesses that were formed and within corporates. So I know that's a wishy-washy answer, and I wish I could give you something more direct, but I think that's the reality.
That was a very political answer. Thank you very much. it's been really insightful. I think, people listening to this, I think will have their sort of eyes opened in terms of, you know, what you guys have achieved with the support of Standard Bank. But I think how sort of liberated you are necessarily from the brand, this is not just with all due respect to bankers, this is not just a team of bankers that have gone, let's build an app. This is way more complex than that. And I think the guys done a fantastic job. I'm going to go and download Shift and have a play.
Great.
I'll put some links at the bottom. So if anyone wants to have a look at Shift, I'll add some links at the bottom of this YouTube, and you'll see it on Spotify and Apple Podcast as well. Arno, thank you. If there's any closing comments, or if anyone wants to kind of find you, I found you on LinkedIn, so I guess that's quite a good source. But if we've got anyone that's interested in potentially partnering with you, whether it be on the cross-border payment side, whether it be on the equity side, best to sort of look you up on LinkedIn or
LinkedIn. It's Arno.von.Helden. On LinkedIn, I think it is something like that, or Arno von Helden. Just search for Arno von Helden. There's, as far as I'm aware, there's only one of me out there. So by all means, reach out. We are always interested in new ideas, fresh perspectives. I'd love to hear them. And Darren, thank you very, very much for giving me the platform to come and talk to you. And to all the listeners out there, please go and download Shift. It's Shift with a Y. You'll find it on Google, Android, Apple, wherever it is. Download it, give it a go. Hopefully it will really change your life. So thanks very much.
Amazing. And last word for me, if you are watching soccer, or you're watching the F1 or golf, or Desperate Housewives or whatever it is you watch, don't always go and run and make a cup of coffee or a cup of tea during the adverts. Sometimes you pick up some real nuggets, as I did. So Arno, thanks so much. I'll let you get back to your day, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks very much.
And that's a wrap for this week's episode of Talking Success. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for this fascinating discussion on all things fintech. We hope you've enjoyed this episode and have gained some valuable insights into the ever-evolving world of finance and technology. A huge thank you to our guests for sharing their expertise and providing us with some amazing insights. We certainly couldn't have done this without them. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting conversations with experts in the field. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep talking success.